Like, I'm not that bad. Am I that bad?
No, you're not that bad.
No, not They're at all.
They're both so afraid, they just immediately answered, no.
No, 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 Danae. You're great. You're great, Danae. You are super great.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, a weekly look at everything going on inside the world of CinemaSins. I'm Aaron Dyson. I'm joined, as always, by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And Danae Hughes.
I just like took a big swig, and then it was like, welcome to Sin Cast. Wait, we're not the Sin Cast. Welcome to BTS.
Wow.
And Danae Hughes.
Hi.
We write for Cinema Sins and TV Sins and do various other things inside the Cinema Sins universe as well.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I mean, hey, listen, the sooner you can break the show, the better. Like, you know, it's, you know, just get it out of the way. Make sure people know what to expect from BTS.
Average penis size. What?
Okay, so that's part of the bingo is something being mentioned that is in the outtakes. That was suggested during the show, right? We have that written down.
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think that's on the bingo card / drinking game. I think bingo card is the safer way to go at this point with many things as we've labeled. Please don't do the drinking game version of the bingo card.
Oh, can we share super fun news right here at the very beginning, please?
Yes, please, please. Danae, share the news.
The news is we gonna start doing a live show in front of you every week.
Yay.
Yay.
And by you, we mean our amazing Sin Club members. If you are a member of the Sin Club at the peeper level or above, we're going to do this show live on video every Friday morning for you.
What's so funny?
Yeah, Jonathan, what's cracking you up now?
I'm not going to use this one. Because I always forget to look up the holiday.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. I was doing that real quick while we were talking about this. And apparently April 8th, which is when this will air, is Dog Farting Awareness Day.
Oh, listen. I don't know that I need a day to be aware.
Listen.
Pretty obvious.
I'm pretty sure Janae's aware right now. She's got two just going for it.
My dogs have the horrible toots, though, because they eat really expensive dog food. High in nutrition. I remember being told that by dog trainers way back in the day. If you don't want to smell your dog's farts, put them on good dog food. And then I had a really big dog and he had really, really big gas. And that was one of my main incentives for trying it out at the very first.
Oh, no. You are absolutely right. Because every now and then when you can't get to PetSmart or whatever, you got to go grab something at Walmart. That's when it happens. No offense against Walmart.
Anyway, we're going to be doing this.
I don't care if I offend Walmart.
You will be able to see this shit show live.
I'm so sorry. I was listening to everything that was going on. We were talking about going live.
So we're going to start doing the show every... We record on Fridays at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. Central. So every Friday at 9 a.m., you'll be able to access the link on Patreon. Click it. And wait for the show to start, and then you'll get to see us do our show. And then for those of you who can't actually watch as it's live, but you want to watch it later, you can still see the video on Patreon.
That's correct. It will stick around. You don't necessarily have to watch it live. I will say a couple of caveats to this. Number one, we're waiting till May to start. We're going to get a couple things in place and make sure everything's good to go. So it'll be, starting in May. The other thing is there will be occasional weeks where we don't go live. I'm sure that will happen. I don't want to overpromise something here where it's like, no, you said every week that you'll be on video. Like, there are holidays. There are different times we have to record at different times. Like, but every Friday that we can, we will go live for our amazing Sin Club members.
Yeah. And then we're going to do, we're doing Behind the Scenes After Dark, right? On After
That's
Hours
right.
on
That's
Friday
We basically
nights, right?
did that for Aaron. Our outtakes this week. So, like, Danae is stripping and, like, we're talking about penis sizes. Like,
That's
I don't even know what's going
true.
On.
We talk about BDSM. It's pretty intense.
Yeah. I think an actual After Hours for us would be, like, Aaron would be, like, watching, like, some TV show on a Friday night or something.
Yes, right. Yes, exactly. Danae, you're now redoing the outtake. That is how the outtake started, was trying to figure out the order of the initials for BDSM.
Sorry. But, you know, you can skip ahead to outtakes now. Oh, hey.
That's how exciting we are. We don't know the initials.
We don't even know how the initials go.
Something else you might not know is that if you want to skip ahead to specific sections of the podcast, check out the notes in your podcast player because they give you timestamps. And in a lot of cases, you can click the timestamp and it will actually send you to the place in the podcast, is my understanding.
Yes, that is correct. Now, some of that does depend on your podcast player. There are certain podcast players that don't interpret the numbers correctly, but most of the main ones, they should be clickable in your podcast notes if you want to go back and forth through some of the topics.
And you know what? While we're talking about cool shit, let's just also mention we still have a promo code if you're wanting to use it for our show, BTS Fan. That's BTS FAN. You can use it at our merch store for $5 off of an item. And we are still selling the Go Live Life and Do Stuff shirt for a little while longer. But if you want to have the podcast shirt, snag it before I take it out of the store. And then it will be replaced with a new quote from either Aaron or Jonathan. And I'm thinking about doing a Twitter poll. So we give all of you guys our Twitter stuff at the end of the show. But you can follow us on Twitter and we'll be doing more stuff. It'll be on Patreon, Twitter, and all that stuff. It'll be an Aaron quote, which could be like fascinating or something, or it could be a Jonathan quote, which could be sure.
Yep.
You know, these t-shirts also sound amazing.
on the promo code thing, you could type in BMSD. probably nothing, but it'll make me laugh.
Listen, we get those initials wrong one more time, I'm just telling you, we're going to have to be punished. Punished severely, and
it'll have a t-shirt that just says, "No, I'm kidding."
Yeah, there you go.
It's a me thing.
It's a me thing. That is one of the quotes suggested, but we'll. Sorry, Aaron. Sorry, Aaron.
Let's get into this inside scoop.
What's he building in there?
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
This is a true story.
Going to take a look at the videos from the week, the process of sending them, how we felt about the stuff we are sending in general. Kicking it off with commercial sins again, the Tide hashtag laundry later commercial, which I believe was a Scott script, Jeremy writing this one. I don't even think I've ever used Tide. I think we always use generic laundry detergent. So I have no big laundry detergent opinions.
We are a Tide family, but I think that's just because it's what we've always bought. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. But if you want to sponsor us, Ty, I do use you often.
Feel free.
I did not like this string of commercials. I don't remember this one specifically, but I do remember during the Super Bowl that one year, they did like a series of these where somebody said, don't do it during the Super Bowl. And then somebody came on and said, yeah, but after the Super Bowl, you'll be doing it during our show. Don't do it during our show. And it was just, you know, it kind of became like this running joke of that wasn't funny. and then I guess this was an offshoot of that or something. I don't know.
We call those running away from the joke what we call those. Danae, yes. What is, like, do you have like strong laundry detergent opinions?
No.
Okay. Well, then we can just move into the commercial.
I could tell you what Jeremy had to say about the writing process.
Yeah, do that.
Though.
Let's start there.
He said, so this is a stupid commercial with a dumb premise. He gets a stain on his shirt and the girl tells him to clean it, quote unquote, later. And then he muses on what that might be. How much later is later? Like I said, really fucking dumb. So dumb, I didn't have to do any research while sending this. So I'm just going to give you my favorite sin, which is at the end when he's an old man and still hasn't cleaned his shirt or even taken it off. Look, dude, you may not know when to wash your dirty shirt. Apparently, that's your big dilemma here. And some ad executive somewhere is jerking himself off watching this terrible idea come to life in a Super Bowl ad. But you should know when to change a dirty shirt. You have aged 35 years without changing your shirt, dog. How is Schitt's Creek here still even willing to sit next to you? You have to smell like rancid corpse's feet at this point. That's his favorite sin.
Nice.
I just want to let you know.
I mean, I did jerk off while watching this. I thought that was what we were supposed to do.
Wow, we really are going with the BTS After Dark theme this week.
I feel like we need
week.
To have some kind of a warning at the beginning of this particular episode.
I don't usually mark the individual episodes as explicit, but I may just have to mark this one as explicit.
He said an executive was jerking off. That is what is called playing off of that and creating my own joke.
I 100% agree.
I didn't know. I mean, you're just a comedy writer, but let me explain this to you.
Let's get into the sins of the video. Jonathan, why don't you kick us off? What's some of your favorite stuff in this?
Setting food on top of the coffee table books. I liked setting that as a party fucking foul. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really funny. I know why you sleep alone. That was a really good one. That felt very Jeremy now that I know he wrote this. Question no human would ever ask becomes the central focus of this entire commercial so-called joke. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones I wrote down.
I also wanted to mention the host of the Super Bowl party left a basket of laundry with a Tide bottle in it on the hallway table, like all good party hosts do.
Yeah. I would have, by the way, I would have left that house if I had walked in and there was a pile of dirty laundry.
It's good
to
know. I will make note of that for when you guys come over.
I've already heard about your house and you're not cleaning, but socks everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's true. It's true. And then through savvy corporate partnerships, of course, and a devastating underestimation of how much the viewing public cared about the Bud Light night. I thought that was really funny, too. It's like, right, like that's the thing
and
we wanted to see.
I still don't remember the Bud Light
night. I don't either.
Still don't
I don't either.
Which is why I was a little shocked to read he didn't have to do any research.
Yeah.
He just knew that.
I had no idea what that is. Danae, what about you?
I wrote down the heavy duty 10 times sin, which I thought was really fun.
Yeah.
Just how it kind of
that is...
got more and more evolved and then it landed with, and I can write 10 times on my dick with a Sharpie, but it won't actually make my dick any longer.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That has to be bullshit. Like, because you see that all the time and it's just like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, where is that math
Where's
equation coming from?
Where's the line?
Like, what is it 10 times more? Like, where is your, like, bottom mm-hmm. that you're going 10 times more than? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's putting way too much thought into it.
Indeed. Let's move on to TV sins. Danae will be very pleased to know we are back in the office with The Injury, which actually is one of my favorite episodes.
Here's why I'm very happy.
I went back and forth with this one. Go ahead, Danae. Sorry.
It's okay. Here's why I'm very happy. I'm very happy because I didn't have to write on this one.
or review it or anything,
no,
right?
I don't think you were the shadow, were you? I was like, oh, we did an episode of The Office? How wonderful.
So did you even not watch it like to prep for the show? Like,
yeah,
or
fuck
did
that
you...
show.
No, are you asking if she watched the video?
Yeah, like if she watched the video to prep for the show or if she was just like, no, I didn't have to take part in this one at all.
I did watch it on 2x speed.
Well, that works.
I don't really understand what's happening in this one, so I would like to know that.
Yeah, this is a Watser script, Jonathan and I writing mm-hmm. on this one. And yeah, Chris shadowing on this one, so Danae didn't have to worry about watching it. What questions did you have, Danae, about the episode?
I think it's weird you never go with Dykens, by the way. But
I did the first time. Well, I went with Dyskins the first time.
Oh, did you really?
Time, yeah.
I missed that one.
Dyskins.
Yeah,
Dyskins.
Or I said Dykens, but yeah, Dyskins works mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
Tell me about this episode. Tell me what's happening.
Well, Michael injures his foot because he has to have bacon cooking in the morning. And so he sets his George Foreman grill in his bedroom so he can throw some bacon on and then go back to sleep. And because he wants to wake up to the smell of bacon.
Okay.
And he accidentally
Doesn't he say like an hour later too? Would reek at that point.
Right.
Like that would just be like burnt bacon, right? Or I guess he said he sets a timer.
He sets a
timer. I don't remember. But
so anyways, this morning he accidentally stepped on the George Foreman grill, burned his foot. And of course, when it's Michael Scott, it's of, you know, trauma and the world's worst thing. And then he wants somebody to come get him. Nobody wants to go get him except for, of course, Dwight, who is super excited to go get him. And he gets in a car accident and gets an actual concussion, which nobody really pays attention to because Michael wants all the attention for his hurt foot. And then he, of course, has a whole meeting about how he's disabled now and you should treat disabled people better and, you know, brings up somebody.
He brings in a disabled person mm-hmm. and talk to them
yes.
about it.
I did like that sin.
It's so uncomfortable.
You said the meeting was going to be in 20. How did you put all of this together?
Right. Yeah, totally.
Being able to find the sins in a moment and not being fully enraged with the show. Good for you.
Chris
guys.
Was the shadow on this one. And I remember Chris was talking about that final scene where Michael's putting his foot in the CT scan or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris was talking about how that just made him really uncomfortable. Like, and I'm like, yeah, that's the show, man. It's just like
it is. It's awful to watch.
It's stuff you would never think about. This one was funnier than most of the ones we've we've covered.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this episode. I like, in general, I think, do I like The Office more than you do? Jonathan, I forget if you're like...
Oh, yeah. Well, you've seen it. You've seen like every episode.
Yeah, totally.
I've seen like maybe 20 or 30. Yeah. I know. I like it okay. I'm like kind of in between you two. Like,
right.
It does make me super uncomfortable sometimes to where I don't find it funny. But there definitely have been good episodes.
Yeah.
That I've seen. And I love the actors. I love the cast.
That's it. That's it for me. It's the yeah. cast.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, the one thing about this episode I did enjoy was that this was one where you actually... they make Dwight more sympathetic, mm-hmm. and you actually feel for him, which is typically not, you know, they usually don't go that route, and
yeah.
you get like those really nice moments between him and Jenna Fisher, and you know, so
yeah,
anyways,
yeah. Danae, you get to start us off with the sins, since you didn't write on this one.
I wrote one that I enjoyed, which was whomever did the research on the characters allowed on the computer.
That was Aaron.
My
God. I assume that's keeping tabs. But
I did. It was the only thing I researched, so I do have it in keeping tabs. But
what a treat that was, 100%.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
It's one of those sins where it keeps going. You're like, yeah, get it?
And that's one of those where I read it, and I'm like, I hope you're right. Because if you get flack, I'm not researching that, and if you get flack for it, that's on you.
I tried to think, we'll just get my keeping tabs when we get there, but I tried to think through it as much as I could, like, you know, because I made sure that they really were Windows machines. Like, you could tell on the wide shot they were not Apple computers. And then I'm thinking, well, mm-hmm. you know, and honestly, I could have done the Apple version. You can do more characters. I researched all of this, by the way. You can do more characters in an Apple folder than a Windows folder, but it still wouldn't have been enough that was on there. The other part of it is that you can type more than you can actually do. So if I was going to get flack, it was going to be for the fact that he could have typed that many. It
right.
just wouldn't have accepted it when he hit enter. And so I tried to word the sin so that it made sense that he, you know, like it wasn't something he would do because he would know that kind of thing. But of course, he has a concussion. So that's the whole point of that scene. So there were ways for people to, like, you know, say that sin was off base. And that is why
yeah.
I ended it with what I figured out was that I just wasted so many, you know, hours of my life on this, as opposed to anything declarative about it being wrong, which is a trick we use a lot, where it's like, you know, you can come at me for the sin, except for I didn't really make the sin. I made a joke at the end, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, yeah.
I wanted to, the asshole in me, when I see something like that, which I know Aaron like was really proud of that sin, I wanted to be like, yeah, I'm just not feeling this one. Can we cut?
I'm just not feeling the hours of research you put into this. No, that happens, man.
I wish it
would have been a joke if I had said that. It would have totally been a joke. Well, I mean, Danae did that whole thing with the 4 hours she spent on The Simpsons, like that one scene
yeah.
on The Simpsons. And
yeah.
Aaron's
thanks for bringing
like,
that back
about
up again.
That.
Thanks for bringing that
it
back up
It was a legitimate
again.
Sin. And now that I've written one for The Grinch, which worked so beautifully, I
yeah.
know it could have worked for The Simpsons. Damn mm-hmm. it. Although I have to say...
I do not want to relitigate this because I want to be friends with you forever.
I shouldn't have brought that up. All of a sudden, Danae's going to leave the show for
I
want to
be friends forever, Danae. Let's not talk about this again.
I do have to say, though, that like, I'm not that bad. Am I that bad?
No, you're not that bad.
No, not at all.
They're both so afraid, they just immediately answered, no.
No, Danae. You're great. You're great, Danae. You are super great.
I really do wish
Danae
that you...
is so good at her job. She is the best.
Good job, Jonathan.
We love Danae.
The cookie. Good job. I do love the idea. Like, we do have to cut some sometimes that we do a lot of research on or really have a different opinion
oh, yeah.
on. And I think that's the one of the ways that I can let it go therapeutically is knowing that I can talk about it here.
Yeah.
So it does yeah. help. But I really do wish you would have trolled him a little bit, Jonathan. That would have been funny. But that's actually the only one that I wrote down. So
okay, fair enough. I guess I can go next. Let's see. The Ryan who was supposed to be dead, and then the sin is Saving Private Ryan haters. Liked that mm-hmm. one. If he's doing a crossword puzzle, he's probably learning quite a bit. I'm sure he's learned the dog from The Thin Man is named Asta, user female sheep, and that the tree people from The Hobbit Wars are known as Ents, or is it Hobbit Trek? I really liked that one because it's such a specific crossword person, you know, kind of sin.
Yeah.
And I really dug all this, the specifics
that
there.
Also shows that I do like the easy crosswords, by the way, that I don't try to do like New York Times.
That's right. That's a fair point.
Not a lot of Asta in the New York Times, right. I don't think.
And then I wanted to bring up the, speaking of three, the documentary crew brought three full camera rigs and crew to the hospital.
I had that one down. I had that one down.
This
That's
is becoming
crazy.
My favorite thing to sin about these mockumentaries is just the absolute craziness of the crew that these documentaries must have. They've got still got a doc crew at the office during the same time. They've got three different cameras to pick up the three different angles here. I just love thinking about that stuff and how ridiculous it is that they would finance, you know, that much on this this paper company documentary. So I wanted to mention that one as well. What about you, Jonathan?
I had that one. Also, the you send them for the shotgun moment, like where it was like they were like later on. They were like, tell us about when you said shotgun.
Right. I think Chris wrote that one. But yeah, that was
he the, might have.
That was
yeah.
another one of those observational ones where it was like, you know, how does this actually work? And I love thinking about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I also liked we did the watching. I had a couple on there. I had Aaron went with watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy all in one sitting, and then I think you added some stuff to it. My other thing was just watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy, but I knew Aaron probably wouldn't say that. So
I've got lines, man. I've got lines.
He had no problem joking around about Hobbit track.
That's right. That's right.
But then there was a lot of comments about that. They're like the comments, by the way, the YouTube comments on this Office episode were actually quite nice.
They were.
There
they
was
were
a
really
lot of
nice.
People. Yeah, there are a lot of people saying stuff like, I watched Lord of the Rings in one sitting. It was fine. I'm glad you love it. The real sin here is the control bacon has over us was the other one. And then the eating string cheese. I probably do eat string cheese like that. I'm definitely just, I bite into it.
I do
wow.
too.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just bite it.
I don't get a thrill out of pulling it. So
it's the same thrill. If you're going to call it a thrill, it's the same thrill I get out of like, sucking on candy, right? Like where it's like not gone right away. And so you get to like yeah. savor it more or that kind of thing. Like I don't bite in, like even like Snickers bars, like I'll bite off a piece of Snickers bar and then I'll like suck the chocolate off and then taste yeah. the caramel.
I have no patience.
And then that kind of stuff. So
I chew ice cream.
That's
I
right. That's right. We've talked about this. That's right.
Yeah, I have no patience. That could be a t-shirt. I chew ice cream.
So it's the same thing with string cheese. It's like if I can, I try to get the smallest strings possible and then I get to enjoy the taste for like that, you know, microscopic part of the string cheese and it just lasts for a long time. So, you know, because I'm such like a taste person, like it makes sense for me to savor it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
M&M-a-lingus.
That's all I had.
No, Danae. That was last week.
I just
but
want
yes.
to make sure we stay on this but theme yes. of extremely
what did you say?
R-rated today.
She said cunninimilingus. She said cunninimilingus.
That's what I was trying to say. I didn't say that exactly, but that's what I was trying to say.
No, I think you just said eminimingus.
Eminimingus, I think is what I said, which is like meningitis or something.
All right, let's move on to Parks and Rec. We did another Parks and Rec episode, Sister City. This was a Watchus script. Danae and Jonathan writing on this one. What did you think? What did you think of this episode? Like, I can't remember if either of you watched the show or if you're just watched the ones we sin.
I've seen every episode. Okay. No, I'm a huge fan of this show. Yeah. This is not one of my favorite episodes, though, and I was kind of surprised to find. Not that I really hate it, but I don't know. I just don't. I was surprised to find out this was such a fan favorite.
It really is a fan favorite, and I agree. Yeah. I've watched every episode as well, and this is not one that would necessarily stick out to me either. Yeah. So, yeah.
And I mean, I don't really, I don't know what it is. It's interesting because Danae wrote the sin about making fun of like sex work and you know, assuming women are there for your pleasure, that kind of thing. Which I that's awful. And I mean, obviously, I wanted to leave the sin in, but the thing is, I read that scene differently, and I actually thought they were just making fun of foreigners, like saying foreigners are stupid, which is also problematic. Mm-hmm. So. There was just some stuff in this episode that was a little more like Leslie was a little like, I don't know. It still felt like they were trying to find their groove because this show did take a minute.
Yeah.
To really lock on.
Sure.
And this was second season. And so this was still just kind of, I think, a bit of a misstep.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fine. It's funny. I mean, Fred Armisen's funny and it has its moments.
Yeah.
But it just I don't know.
Yeah, I
wasn't what I like about the show.
100%. I second everything that Jonathan said. Danae, as someone who doesn't watch the show and has just seen the two episodes we've sent or whatever, kind of what are your continuing thoughts on Parks and Rec? Is it as bad as The Office for you?
No, it's not. But I'm wondering if it's like a documentary, mockumentary style that maybe I just don't enjoy very much, or just the idea that...
You liked Modern Family though, right?
For a little while,
yeah. For a little while at least, yeah.
Yeah.
I will say the big difference in this and The Office, though, is that Leslie is not Michael Scott,
correct.
Right? Like, Leslie is just this optimistic...
She's worth rooting for. Like, yeah, she's...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, she's got... You know, she's just... She loves government, and she mm-hmm. wants to... You know, she loves Pawnee, and she wants to do the best thing she can, so... I think that's the difference there.
You're right. The characters
for me.
Yeah, no, for me too. The characters in Parks and Rec overall are still like extreme caricatures, like, you know, but not many of them are jerks. I think pretty much just Tom.
And even Tom, I think, is just kind of misguided a lot of the time.
Right.
Like, I think I think there are things there about him that are fine, but
yeah. But everybody else is pretty okay. You know,
and
even like
Ron
Swanson is, you know, he's like, he like hates his job and, you know, he's very much, you know, guns and bacon and, you know, that kind of thing. But I mean, it's still like, he's not a jerk. Like, he's nice. And
I love him. Like, he's very anti-government, but he's also very good at his job.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
He's like the perfect person in that position. Yeah. Right. He can delegate very well. It's funny.
I think it's a good point.
But sorry, Danae, I did not. You were talking about it. I didn't mean to like take over the conversation.
Oh, that's okay. I'm just writing you a sweet note to put into your little thing that I'm sending to you in the mail.
Oh,
do you
nice.
Need to read it to you now? Jonathan,
sure.
I hope you are doing well today. I'm sorry working with me sucks so bad. Anyway, thanks for putting up with my absolute bullshit, Danae.
I don't know what you're talking about, Danae.
Nice.
You're awesome.
Very well done.
No, I really don't have a ton to say because I don't know the characters. I don't know their personalities. I've only seen two episodes. So, but
and those are the only two episodes you've seen?
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like I'm, you know, at a major disadvantage speaking to the show, but I'm not really seeing a lot that I'm super excited about. So
I will say third season is when I believe Rob Lowe and Adam Scott show up. And that's really, I think the show, the people that love the show, I think that's where they really start enjoying it more.
Yeah.
Nothing against whatever that dude's name is that's on it. The first two seasons.
Nothing against whatever that guy's name is.
I mean, seriously, like, I totally forget he was ever on the show.
Yeah, me too.
Until we sent an episode, and then I'm like, oh yeah, that guy was there.
Totally, yeah. That first season was kind of a loss in
Adam
a lot of ways.
Scott does this. Adam Scott's character is a role-playing guy, and I can't even remember the name of that game that they have on the show that he plays all the time.
Yeah.
Danae would find that funny, I
That's
think.
That's true. You would love that plot line.
it's like... They created this like role playing game for the show. It's
I've been told
it's
about
Game
this.
Of Thrones esque.
I've been told
the
about
Cones
this.
Of Dunshire.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and they just bring it up every now and then. I think there's even an episode where they like go to a tournament or something.
Well, it's not just that they play just, it; he invented it.
Yeah,
like it's he, like
oh,
he
that's
created
right. that's
the
right.
game.
Yeah.
And yeah, yeah.
The and then he finds out other people are playing it. I think
right,
that's what
right,
it is.
Yeah.
Like he finds
oh
out
gosh.
Like there's this tournament or yeah, it's just it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fun stuff. I'll get us started into the sins. First, I wanted to mention fully in support of taking off a sin for Aubrey Plaza. I thought that was
Hell yeah.
that was great. Earlier today, someone compared Danae to Aubrey Plaza, and I thought that's an interesting comparison. I think that works.
I will say, I think her character was probably the closest to what it was for the rest of the series, like
yeah.
at that point.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Spreading misinformation about spreading germs, certainly an appropriate thing these days to sin. Offering Venezuelans gummy bears, Venezuelans prefer, and I appreciated the pronunciation, which I don't have in front of me right now. Is it Haribo or Haribo?
Har. I think it's Har.
Yeah, we put it on there, didn't
That's
we?
That's what
yeah,
I'm saying. I appreciated you putting
oh,
the pronunciation
yeah.
in there because I've never known how to pronounce
I
these gummy bears.
And I had it wrong. I'm glad I looked it up because it was wrong in my head. Like, I didn't have the right pronunciation. So I'm glad I looked it up. Yeah, that's like the generic. I mean, I guess they're, I don't know. I just, that always seemed to be like the mm-hmm. rip-off gummy bears.
Yeah. Let's see. I wanted to mention the last sin about, or almost the last sin, about not knowing how to government correctly, just because mm-hmm. it's just such a great observation about just how silly it is that these characters act in opposition almost to their own belief sometimes because the show needs them to. And just the idea that the show wants to be about how silly government is, but then it doesn't even really go as far as how ridiculous government really is. So
was that about the check?
Yeah, it was. It was most likely the Parks Department would have to take this up with the mayor or an appointed committee would vote on whether or not to keep it and potentially vote on what the money would then be used for. Show doesn't know how to government correctly.
Yeah, I was glad that Jonathan had that one in there because I wanted to send something, but I didn't. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where to go with it. And that was a really appropriate.
And I didn't do like an insane amount of research. I did enough to make sure that I wasn't like being an idiot, but because that didn't really make sense to me that she would just be able to take a check and then do whatever the hell she wanted with it. Like none of that made sense. So.
Right. Yeah.
Because that would just be like taking a bribe or something.
Danae, why don't you go next?
I wrote down a few that I enjoyed. The rubber nipples tasting like the real thing.
That was great.
It was really good.
It's so simple, but it might be one of my favorites that I've written lately, which is a little disappointing. And also,
hey, the simple sometimes simple is the best. Work.
Yeah, because it was a simple they do not sin, right?
Yeah, they do not. Yeah. And then the sin about the car. Everybody comfortable back there? And then just pointing out that there's plenty of ways for them to have gotten to where they were going. Was another one.
I hated that scene. There was nothing about that was funny. It was God, that was so dumb.
It was really uncomfortable. It was like, it's like people come from out of town to shit on your job episode.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
It was weird.
The other one I'll talk about, am I keeping tabs?
All right, Jonathan, what do you got?
Well, I hope it wasn't this one, but I loved leaving a pencil in the sharpening hole like an asshole.
I did not have to research that one.
I already mentioned the thing about, you know, Danae had the bit about women being treated like sex objects, and like I thought it was also kind of horrible that they were just like, oh, foreigners are silly, and just all that was bad. And like Leslie, there was even a whole thing in there we didn't even talk about where Leslie assumed they were poor, that was weird.
Yeah,
and then they ended up being like the assistant, like the lowest ranked one had like a mansion. It was like because. There's a whole thing at the end where Aubrey Plaza's at the mansion or whatever. What a strange way to say gymnasium, I thought was really funny. Mm-hmm. And then I love that we got a Susie thing in there. No one should have to eat dried chicken. Do you hear that, Susie? Mm-hmm. And then realizing that maybe three people that watched the video got that, but that's okay. And I did think it was funny. This was just one of those weird things that happened. So I wrote, they're talking about Miami. So I wrote this in. I hear in the clubs, you can see Sly Stallone, which is a lyric from obviously from the Will Smith song. Miami, and then just randomly, having not seen this video, because you shadowed this, right, Aaron?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, so I think it was Jeremy and Barrett were talking about on our Slack how bad that song, the Will Smith song Miami, is. Had not seen this video, did not know anything about the script.
That's great.
And then I was like, holy crap, I just literally wrote a lyric from that song as a sin. It was like the same day. It's just interesting how stuff like that happens. Yeah. We also... Leslie Knope, all of a sudden, I just forgot her name, the actor who plays Leslie Knope.
Yes. This is always where you short circuit my brain. Amy Poehler,
but Amy Poehler shows up in an outtake in one of our CinemaSins videos.
Oh, yeah.
This week.
That's right.
That's weird.
Right. It's just, it's kismet.
See,
it's
this is how we know that you prepare more than anyone else.
That's right.
By preparing, I watch the videos.
That's right.
Is what they're saying.
And
goes a long
notes.
Way. It goes a long way. All right, let's move on to CinemaSins. Napoleon Dynamite has been sinned. This is a Danae-it sin, this video. Barrett and Danae on this one.
I really loved all the tweets that were so confident that I wrote on this one, and I was like, wow, they know me.
Oh, Tater Tot?
Yeah,
we've got a video coming up with a lot of Tater Tot content that Danae did not write on, so don't ever be so sure.
You never know.
But you never know.
The spirit of Danae was definitely
100%
in that script.
100%. Danae wrote some sins in the next script through either Jonathan or I. Like, it's 100% happened.
And it all, which we will talk about it on that episode, but it is, they're all worth, it's totally worthy because they're all bullshit, things that happen in that show. So anyways.
Today, this is your, had you watched Napoleon Dynamite before sending it?
I did.
Okay. I thought you had seen this movie before.
Because
you talked about the tots and stuff, but so like, what's been your experience with this one?
I didn't remember anything other than the tater tots. I didn't remember the plot. Plot is underlined with like a little arrow and then a question mark. Just right. For clarification. I totally forgot about the girl from Waterworld. and Nola from Waterworld. Yeah, I've also seen Waterworld, so you guys can all calm down.
She was in a bunch of stuff right around that time when she was like that age. Like mm-hmm. There were like 5 or 6 movies. But yeah, I forgot about Waterworld, though. Yeah, that is one of them.
Seeing her in Napoleon Dynamite was one of those experiences where I recognized a face and I could not figure out where it was from. And I try to do the thing where I don't go to IMDb to look it up, but I'm terrible at that. So
She was the only person I think I knew, other than Diedrich Bader, when this movie came out, because all these other people nobody knew yet.
Yeah.
Maybe I knew Hayley Duff's sister. What is that, Hillary Duff? I might have known who she was, mm-hmm. but I was just like, yeah, the girl from Waterworld and the dude from Office Space and the Drew Carey Show. It's like the only people in this movie I know.
I didn't
yeah.
remember anybody from this or anything about it, really. So coming back into Sin It was kind of exciting because it's like, oh, yeah, I've seen this before, but I wouldn't have had any idea what I was going to sin going into it, except for that I knew the one sin, that those tots would have not been crispy. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest sin of the movie for me. And I knew going in that was the one thing. See, sometimes these guys that I work with, they watch a movie and then they get assigned it later and they're like, I know exactly what I'm going to sin. This and this and this and this. Nope. I don't have any idea what I'm going to do except for that one. I knew it. Just going in. And I would have fought for it. I would have fought Barrett for it. But thankfully he agreed and kept it in. So.
Nice.
I saw this movie when it came out. And I saw it after, like, I felt like almost everyone else had seen it because all I heard was people, you know, quoting it and telling me how funny it was. So I just didn't really, I don't know, it wasn't my thing. I've never seen it again. I will say this video was great and it actually made me kind of want to watch the movie.
Don't.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
I still don't know that I'd like it, but it or just,
do. I mean, here's the thing. I was shocked at how the pace was frustrating for me because it is just a very, it's comfortable with being a slow movie. And I guess in that way, you are in the farming town. And it really, in its pacing, matches the environment that these people are in. And I think that that's an important part of storytelling that movies and shows get to do, is they get to put you into the world. And so it just sits inside of moments for uncomfortable lengths of time, which sometimes I think works to the storytelling. And sometimes I think it's a frustration. Mostly because I kept wanting to go, well, what else is there? Or is this just about some high school kids and one being voted class president? And that's all that matters. And that seems to be kind of it. But I found myself really wanting to dig into something more, you know, explore a little bit more. And then it did some really, annoying button-ups towards the end with, you know, this incredibly creepy dad just suddenly having, I guess, his ex-girlfriend show up on a bicycle in the middle of the field. And then their story is fine. Like, everybody gets a happy ending. And it sort of felt like a throwaway rather than it just being the end of a really weird week at school or something like that. So definitely not one of my favorite movies by any stretch of the imagination. The highlight of the movie is the sin or the joke that Barrett created, you know, about the dance, and just let's go back and watch that again because that is the best part.
I need to watch that again because I remember at the time I didn't think that was that funny, and I remember everybody, my wife has that Jamiroquai song,
it's just
like,
so
on her playlist.
Unexpected, you know,
it's so
yeah,
great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love it.
See, I just remember being like, that's what people took.
It's really ridiculous that he wins, you know, because of one nerd's dance. But at the same time, it's the underdog rooting. It's the quintessential, you're rooting for the underdog and you don't know what's going to happen. And then something epic happens. And it's just this awkward solo dance. And this time I even picked up on that he was like really not wanting to dance that dance. He kind of goes like, oh, you know, like he just has this sigh before he does it that I didn't even pick up. I don't remember picking up on before because I thought, like, in my imagination, it was a planned thing. And then on the rewatch, no, it wasn't planned. It was in the moment. Pedro finds out that he has to have, like, this other part of his campaign, and his buddy steps in and takes one for the team in this really embarrassing fashion. But it turned out to be for the better, so.
Yeah, I also love that John Hader has that same expression the entire movie. Like, I don't know if that's talent, but it's impressive to me that he never loses it. Like, there's even that great little bit where you guys showed in the video where the bully just walks past him and without even stopping just shoves him into the locker. And, like, his expression never changes. Yeah. Like, he's just
so,
like,
good.
Yeah, he really, it really, the whole thing, it just, it captures the I'm bored, I have, my life is boring kind of all in his imagination. I think the other part that's difficult, though, is that everyone seems to have, not everyone, but the main characters seem to have that same vibe. I personally don't mind watching a movie where we're looking at the quirky ones rather than the popular ones. And I think that's another reason why it was so beloved at the time.
Is the movie supposed to take place in 2004, though? As far as you can tell,
yeah, that's
what you guys
strange.
Kept saying in the video, and I couldn't remember.
Well, when did Jamiroquai's song come out?
Yes,
yeah, well, that's true.
That's the thing. It is supposed to take place when the movie came out, but that this town is just stuck in the past.
Yeah,
which, you know,
I think he even watches he watches the dance thing on VHS, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that like a VHS tape?
I think so.
And then he's got like parachute pants on. Or he puts the tater tots. Or moon pants.
Yeah, he's got moon pants going on. Or maybe like jean moon pants. See, the thing is about farming towns is their fashion might be all hand-me-downs and stuff that you find in thrift stores sort of a thing. So.
Yeah, no, totally.
True story.
We always joked about the Ohio town I was grew up in. We always joked about being about 15 years behind, you know, regular culture. You know, kind of thing, and it's a real kind of feeling.
It's like in the How I Met Your Mother episode we covered, where you find out Robin's a pop star, and you know, she's like Canada and can get the 80s till like 1995.
Right, yeah. So I will never be able to see straight on this movie. It is one of a handful of movies that its opening weekend fell on the same week as our annual Friends vacation, where us and three other families get together and go somewhere and have a week together. And one of the traditions of that vacation is that the four guys, pick a movie and just go see it, a movie that's opening that weekend. And Napoleon Dynamite
that makes sense,
was one of those movies.
You never go see movies, so I get why you have that tradition.
And so we will never forget. There are two movies that sit at the top of the list of movies we saw that we'll just always remember. Napoleon Dynamite is one of them, because nobody knew what this movie was. It was brand new. It opened that weekend, and it was just like, what is this, the whole time? And like, I and one of the other guys loved it, and then two of the other guys were like, you guys are insane, that was dumb, what are we even doing with our lives? And so we had like a big like conversation, argument, fun. And that's part of the fun of that thing, is just like, you know, you're with your friends and you can just be like, you're dumb for loving that movie, you're dumb for not liking this movie, you know, just kind of have those conversations. I should mention the other one, since I mentioned there were two that are kind of epic examples of this tradition. The other is Tropic Thunder, was one of the other ones that we all saw together. Wow. And that was from the opening fake commercials, one of those moments where two of the guys were like, what have you dragged us to? And the other two of us were laughing our butts off.
I was going to say, that is one of those movies that I remember my wife and I saw in the theater, and like, we missed so much because we were dying.
Yes. You just,
like, the entire time.
Yes. You just have to understand, we are four men from very Christian sheltered backgrounds.
Oh, I can appreciate that.
And it was kind of one of those situations. I don't know.
We still make the comment that we picked up some booty juice in Da Nang. We still say that.
Yeah. So anyways, so Napoleon, I can't see straight on Napoleon Dynamite. I love it, and I know a ton of it is
booty
nostalgia.
Sweat.
A ton of it is nostalgia, so yeah.
Well, I said the wrong thing. I said juice. It's sweat. I said the wrong thing.
Well, it's very important that you get that booty moisture clarified.
And then obviously in the outtakes we use, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
We use that. Yeah.
Let's get into the sins of this one. And Jonathan, why don't you kick us off on this one?
I mean, this many tater tots to this little ketchup was right from the get-go, was you were on my page. It also made me think of my wife, because my wife always talks about how she doesn't get her chip to dip ratio correct.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just adorable. But yeah, also using ketchup with tater tots, I personally find kind of gross, but hey, whatever. You know.
No, I'm not a condiment person. I know Danae does mustard with hers. Oh, so.
How are you not a condiment person? Like, how do you eat dry shit? Like, that doesn't even make sense to me.
Are you just learning this?
I just don't get non-condiment people. I've never understood. It's like everything's so dry.
I like the taste of potatoes. I don't know what's so hard to understand. Why would I mess up the taste of potatoes with the taste of tomatoes? That doesn't make any sense.
You're adding flavor. No, I go ranch typically, but yeah. Mustard is good. Honey mustard, barbecue sauce, not ketchup, man.
Yeah.
Jeremy singing Power of Love. This is Idaho, not Central Florida. I thought it was very funny, especially since my wife's from Central Florida or South Florida. No one was wearing a fanny pack in 2004. Someone has never been to Disney World. I mean, they are everywhere.
Or been the parent of a diabetic because that's my son has a fanny pack everywhere he goes. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. You guys were dissing diabetics.
That's right. For shame.
That's not right. I also liked smelling your finger after touching a cloaca. Obviously.
Yeah.
And Napoleon throws it hard killed me. That slayed me for some reason. But yeah, I was dying.
I had several of those, including the Power of Love one, which you mentioned, which I thought was so funny to juxtapose.
Juxtaposition to nose.
Those two movies I thought was really, really great. I also had the peach juices are going to mingle with the peas and ruin the softness of the crispy exterior of the corn dog. Thank you. The tragedy that was on that plate, I could not stand.
So uncomfortable.
Now that I was not good with. I would not. I always. That's why we have ramekins.
Whoever
peaches in the ramekin.
Whoever noticed the stringy piece of hair that was hanging off of Napoleon's head is a hero. That was so funny.
I could not watch. I had to stop it. I'm like, what is that?
Just stop the movie. Go take care of that thing and fire anyone on set with hair long enough to waft around and cling to other important set pieces or actors. It's like I will
never be able to see anything else.
I just imagine the set director being like, anybody with long hair, you're fired. Get out. I will not have long hair on my set.
I'm sure it was actually like a web. You know how sometimes there's just those really long
web
pieces?
I don't know, man. It looked like hair.
It was so long. And I'm really glad that that one stayed in. Because sometimes those won't stay in to the final scripts. And I was so happy to see it because it was absolutely the most distracting thing.
I thought that was hilarious. When he gets pushed into the lockers and then the scene is just reflexes after he kicks like 5 seconds
late. Yeah,
that
was awesome.
That made me laugh so much. And then, would you like to look like this? This is a girl. Classic not answering the question. It's so funny. I really enjoyed this one. Great work. Danae, did you have any others that we didn't mention you wanted to throw out there?
I liked Barrett's abandoning your entire merchandise supply over one admittedly well-timed your mom joke.
Yeah.
That was kind of a funny.
The outtakes were good, too. I love the Monty Python one was really funny, where it just kept cutting to them. And then the Amy Poehler, I think, was in this one, right? Because they were, it was when he was dancing.
Yeah.
And at first it cut to Drew Barrymore from Donnie Darko, and then it cut to Amy Poehler from Mean Girls.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Good stuff.
The killing a cow sin. Just wondering how that works. And then Kip being...
Oh, yeah. That was
Kip
weird.
Kip being able to use his magic abilities to send Chapstick through a portal. That's another one. There was quite a few I enjoyed on this one. I also really enjoyed, as simple as it is, my sin on the book about centaurs in space or whatever. Like, well, where are the centaurs?
Yeah.
And I was hoping that maybe one of the editors would draw a centaur for us. But that didn't
happen. You remember the time in the Community video when they drew centaur legs on that character?
I wanted that so bad.
That was great. That was great.
You were trying to like will that to happen.
I was trying.
Come on, Natalie.
Come on, somebody on the
All right, let's move to Mighty Ducks.
Quack.
This was an Akinsot script. Jeremy and Chris writing on this one.
How adorbs was Joshua Jackson in this movie?
Totes.
My God, he's like so tiny.
Totes. The answer is totes. He was totes.
Totes adorbs.
Who did you just say wrote on this one?
I have that Jeremy and Chris wrote on this one.
You're right. I just went.
Okay.
I didn't hear. Sorry.
Yeah. No worries. Do we want to hear from them first?
Sure.
What do they got?
Chris said, I have never seen Mighty Ducks before the sinning of it. When I was younger, I didn't care at all about hockey, and I was 15, so I probably considered myself too old to watch a kid movie like this. This has all the cinnable hallmarks of every sports movie ever made. The terrible team with no chance that gets a coach who doesn't care, who ends up caring just enough to recruit new players, and ultimately this terrible team becomes great even though they still only have like one or two skilled players. The two things that I enjoyed sitting the most is the opening scene puts all the blame on Emilio Estevez as a kid for not scoring on a penalty shot when the game is tied. They only explain they lose the game way later, but the fact they blame the penalty shot on their loss is the dumbest thing about the movie. The other thing is Estevez goes to the league and tells the quote-unquote evil team that they have an ineligible player. So the situation is this. If he plays for them again, they forfeit that game, but he's welcome to play for the Ducks. Later, Estevez is told that the league has struck a deal. If he drops his prospect, the evil team gets their player back, and the league will redistrict for the next season. How is that a deal? If I drop my protest, you get everything I get, and I get nothing? And he's about to say yes to it before the movie does some misdirection and makes you forget there's no actual deal here. Had they structured the deal where all the teams get into the playoffs because of the error, that might have been at least something. Of course, in this script, every team except two get in, which is another stupid thing. So it would have been the least that they could do. And those are Chris's thoughts. Nice. Jeremy adds, The Mighty Ducks is a really stupid fucking movie. It doesn't even try to be good. The kids are cute and an entire generation grew up loving this movie. But that entire generation has bad taste. he says it doesn't understand the legal profession. It doesn't understand how peewee sports work. It doesn't even understand hockey. Shit, dude, this movie thinks each peewee hockey team has their own fucking arena. They missed obvious ejection-worthy penalties only to call a bullshit penalty at the end just to set up a penalty shot. This movie thinks you can look at a man 100 yards away and guess his shoe size. This movie thinks you can field a hockey team with little to no safety equipment. And this movie thinks stringing up a goalie to the net and pelting him with pucks is humorous training and not child abuse. This movie thinks coaches and child players have a tickle fight in the snow and that's endearing and not horrific. I'm far from the first person to mention how stupid the famous flying V maneuver is. But I was shocked to find that they never practice it, never mention it even one bit until the final game. And he just blurts out, Flying V! And this group of ridiculously bad players instantly knows what it is and nails it. Worst of all, this movie thinks you can earn emotion through beats instead of developing actual characters. We need the team to get angry at him. Let's have someone overhear him sarcastically calling them losers. But don't kids understand sarcasm? Fuck you, Ted. We already decided. Yes, it's a kids' movie, but it is by the numbers. The original Bad News Bears is the same story, but that movie had actual characters in it. Mighty Ducks' script is like playing checkers with a toddler older enough to understand the game but too young to have practice for it. They move a piece one row and shout, King me, as if they earned it. I'm not telling you it's wrong to enjoy or love the movie. I'm just telling you, you love or enjoy a terrible movie.
I love Jeremy's definitive statements. Like, the only people that like this are, it's nostalgia. He's so definitive and stuff like that, which is usually something that kind of irritates me when people say that. But with him, it's funny for some reason. But
I
do think people genuinely like this movie.
I think I'm one of them. I haven't seen it in forever, so he's probably right. I mean, you know, considering how much Sinning Hunchback of Notre Dame did to my feelings on that movie, I'm sure if I watched this again, I would realize how much nostalgia is based in the early 90s for me. I don't really have much to say other than I enjoyed it for what it was and you know, found the cliches, you know, they're cliches for a reason because they kind of work. Sports cliches kind of work. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't remember liking it that much. I actually think I saw the second one first because like him, when this came out, I was like 16 or like Chris, I was like 16.
I remember thinking the second one's better.
I didn't want to see this movie, but then a couple years after that, I was going to see everything, so I saw D2, mm-hmm. and I I don't remember much about it either. It might be better. I've heard a lot of people say that.
Yeah.
I will say I recently, just randomly, I listened to a podcast called Screen Drafts, and they recently did a Minnesota movie draft. Hmm. And this did not make the list, but they talked about being from Minnesota, how big of a movie this was for Minnesotans at the mm-hmm. time. And Minnesotans are really into hockey, by the way.
Oh, for sure.
I still don't think Pee Wee Leagues would have their own rink dedicated just to them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, there's definitely, it's kind of like Indiana and basketball and
you sure.
know. Yeah. But yeah, it's a perfectly, like, I just remember it being harmless and just, you know, it is Bad News Bears though. That is an apt comparison. Sure. It's Bad News Bears without, but it's like the Disney-fied version. Right. Cause Bad News Bears is like pretty much R.
It's yes. Yeah.
I don't know that it was rated R in the 70s, but today it would be.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so.
Danae, had you seen, have you seen the Mighty Ducks movies?
No.
Okay.
No, and I don't plan to.
But your love of hockey, Danae, how do you avoid Ooh. These movies when you love hockey so much?
Yeah, this was one where I'm watching the Sins video going, yep, nope.
Well, why don't you kick us off with the Sins then?
Okay, I'll kind of skip the ones that Jeremy and Chris mentioned. He's gone from self-centered dick munch to peewee hockey Jesus in 7 hours, cracked me up. Mm-hmm. I like the look at all these wasted eggs. I suggest that hungry people and chickens not watch this movie. I'm this and about that this is the I'm gonna bang you later face. Really?
Oh yeah, that was great.
I really like that one. And these assholes are gonna get back together after fighting in the classroom. What a bunch of dicks.
Good stuff. I had the movie tries to make become the single most obnoxious film of 1992, and this is the same year Beethoven came out. Just the just unnecessary diss of Beethoven I loved. Of course someone farts in the car, and we all know how hilarious that is. Made me laugh. This never-ending string of championship banners is pretty ridiculous, but it's even more ridiculous that a team this dominant lost one in 1973 because of a missed penalty shot when the game was tied. It's a really great point that if they were that dominant, it shouldn't have come down to a penalty shot. I love that point. I think that's really, really smart. I'm sorry, but this message was pounded into people in sports movies throughout the 90s, and it doesn't tell the full story. What the message always forgets to say is it's not about winning at all cost, and that having fun means winning sometimes. Loved that point mm-hmm. because it is so true. Winning is more fun than losing. That's why you try to win. But it's not the only thing. I appreciated that.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing about sports today versus that. But anyways, that's a whole other story.
Yeah. And then let's see. I'll have you know, Peter, that the duck is one of the most noble, agile, and intelligent creatures of the animal kingdom. And then the sin is just laughter and citation needed. I really liked that one as well. Jonathan, what did you have?
I'm halfway expecting Kim Dawson to show up in this. I was also kind of horrified that I got that. Rob Schneider should fucking sue this movie.
Yeah,
that was really good. Mixing Oreos with racism. E-harmonizing your mom, I thought was pretty interesting. Love the good vibrations, Sin. Anytime we can make fun of Marky Mark, I'm down. And
Feel it.
My favorite thing about that song, though, is like how he, it's like drug-free, so put the crack up. But it's like he says it, like it's so intense the way he says it. Like when you're listening to that, like I will sometimes look around and make sure I don't have any crack that I need to,
because Marky Mark's going to get you up. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, totally, I'm like, oh my God, do I have crack?
Oh my goodness.
and then, someone seen The Karate Kid, I really, really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, it was a great video. I will probably, unless my daughter wants to watch the movie, I will probably never watch it again. But, yeah.
You know, releasing Mighty Ducks, the movie Sins, because there's the new Mighty Ducks TV show. If only there were a Sins channel that could ascend the actual TV show. We'll never know.
I've watched the first couple episodes of that, and I think I'm enjoying that more than I have any of the movies. So,
yeah, me too. Me as well.
Yeah. So,
all right, let's move on to keeping tabs.
Hey, podcast peeps, it's me again. Those are my dogs. Mm-hmm. Those are my. Every time I talk. Wow. Is this how Aaron feels? When we're... okay. We're going to try this. Okay. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasense.com/BTS. So, go fill it out.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Ha ha! Oh, jeez.
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations.
We each talk about a little bit of something from the process of putting together the content for the week. I already kind of did mine, so Jonathan and Danae, it is all on you. Jonathan, what did you want to kick off with?
Yeah, I'll go. Mine will be quick. I didn't really have anything research-wise, but I did have a You Done Messed Up, I guess Joe Nathan is what we'll call yes. me. I don't know.
J-O Nathan.
But yeah, but on The Office, which like I said, The Office had a really lot of nice comments, and one of the first ones was Nothing Rhymes with Megan said, Angela would know that... Oh, well, I had a sin where... Angela said something about Michael being Dwight's emergency contact.
Right.
The sin was basically because Angela and Dwight had started a relationship and nobody knew about it.
Yeah, they were trying to keep a hush-hush.
Yeah, and so I kind of made a sin like she's giving herself away. And correctly so, Nothing Rhymes with Megan says, Angela would know that Michael was Dwight's emergency contact because she was the office's safety director. That's why no one questioned it. And I actually commented on that and said, I think that's totally fair and that's all on me. I will say it's still, she kind of does it real quick. Like, how did you mm-hmm. know that, you know, but, so that's why the sin, registered with me, but I did not like go and look into what her actual job was there. So I probably could have done that.
Yeah.
So there you go. Screwed it up. But to be fair, Aaron and Chris didn't catch it either.
Nope,
so
no
it's kind of on them too.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I totally messed sometimes. That one up.
Actually, Chris actually said, I don't know if this is right, but I don't know enough about the relationship to say either way. And then Aaron and I decided to keep it in. So that's it. Was on me.
Danae, what about you? Tell us about all that research you did.
I did a couple of things. One, I wanted to mention what Dutch disease was. Thank you, everyone, for asking. I know it's one of the most standout moments from Parks and Rec.
Well, I didn't write that one down because I remember you said you were going to talk about it.
Yeah.
It was interesting because... as I was doing my research for this episode, there were several Reddit posts that something like this didn't age well. And I really genuinely assumed that it was going to be about just the treatment of women, but it was about Venezuela. And I am not somebody who keeps up with everything going on in the world. I should do a better job of that. I don't. So then I started looking into Venezuela. Guys, it's tragic. There's so much. There's just, mm-hmm. it's too much to get into, but it led me on this just educating myself. And I learned about something called Dutch disease, which is a shorthand way of describing the paradox which occurs when good news, such as the discovery mm-hmm. of large oil reserves, harms a country's broader economy, which is what's happening, mm-hmm. essentially one of the many things. But that's, you know, Venice.
So that was actually... When he said that because, well, first off, were they in Venezuela or were they in a fake country?
They were in Venezuela.
Oh, did they say, okay, I couldn't remember. But so that oil reserve thing, he actually said that was, there was truth to that?
Yeah. So Venezuela was very, very oil rich for a long time. Mm-hmm. They had a major oil reserves, but apparently they're drying up. And so they have this entire economy that's, and guys, I'm giving like a super general version. So I know there's many of you who are listening who have a much better understanding and could say this so much better than I can. But essentially, the economy that was built on that is crumbled or crumbling. And so it's just there's a lot of pain happening in Venezuela because of that and other reasons.
That sucks.
But it's basically it's the, like I said, it's the paradox of when good news becomes the bad news. Like, good news, we're really, really wealthy, we have more oil than we could ever need, and then it's like that creates a massive problem, which mm-hmm. it has. So that's why I wrote this in, just Dutch disease. I learned what Dutch disease is.
That's great. You've made up for making fun of diabetics.
Yes. One of my proud moments.
She didn't do that, by the way, if anybody heard that out of context.
But then, of course, I did look a little bit more into the paper towel versus hand dryer situation just to kind of be sure that what I believe is either true or false or whatever. The Mayo Clinic published something in 2011, so that's obviously 10 years old now, that concluded there's no measurable difference between paper towels and hand dryers. So that's something. There's also Vanderbilt University has done all this research. But what was interesting about this is that it really gained popularity when Dyson Airblade came out. So the Dyson Airblade being the machine you put your hands down into and it just blasts the crap out of your hands. That's funny. The crap, because you're in the bathroom.
Literally.
And it literally spreads it around.
That's actually, you don't even have to go to the bathroom. You just, when you go in, you just stick your hands in the Dyson Air. Now make sure your pants are down because, you know,
they went, it gets messy. They did a lot of research in the creation of the Airblade. And then also trying to make sure that they knew the best way to tell people about it, since it was going to be a different way of drying your hands than everyone was used to at that point. So they wanted to have, obviously, the education and the research to back it. So in 2018/19, there were a lot of hospital journals that were publishing stuff that Dyson was essentially, I'm going to say that they were funding, but the purpose of it was to get word out about these air blades to talk about whether they removed more E. coli from hands than paper towels, because obviously they want their air dryers to be the ones over the normal blow dryer hand dryers.
They want them to be 10 times stronger.
Yes. But of course, MythBusters, they did the best according to this little one that I looked at, which was washing your hands with soap is the best way to remove bacteria. And removing stuff from your hands, it's just going to be everywhere in the bathroom. So once you leave the bathroom, if you really want to be safe, you also wash your hands everywhere you go all day long. Just keep on washing them.
Well, yeah. And like, and also, I mean, as soon as you get done washing your hands and then you go touch the door, I mean, you basically, aren't they just dirty again?
I have
and
a some, whole can be. And if you don't
touch the bathroom door, you touch the restaurant door. And if you don't touch the restaurant door, you touch your own home door. Like, it's just, you're always gonna.
I mean, I do some things. If I can, I open a door with my elbow. I mean, I do some things, but yeah, but you're always
just wash your hands.
Touching something.
Just wash your hands.
Have sanitizer, whatever. I prefer paper towels, though, I will say. I just, there's something about having it. I don't ever feel like my hand is dry.
Yeah, I agree with
that. No matter how long I put it under that blower, I just.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't see the Dyson ones that often, though. Is that not, did you see anything about that? Did a lot of places not partake in them, or?
I don't know. I didn't really get too much into that, but I agree. Oh, okay. They haven't taken over. They're probably a little bit more expensive to make, maybe. And they're intimidating, I think, for people to just put their hands into something where you're not supposed to touch the sides, and then your hands are being blown around a lot. So it requires, I think, more effort. But yeah, it was an interesting kind of thing. So just spreading in misinformation was all I went with for that one.
Let's move on to the comments section. I want to know
what you're thinking. I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
We're each going to take a look at a comment that you have sent us in one place or another over the course of this week. Could be on the videos themselves. Could be Reddit, Discord, Twitter, any place we can pull these from. Emails, all that kind of fun stuff.
Faxes.
Today, why don't you go first? What do you got?
Well, I'm just going to do a shout out to something that's probably going to be in the outtakes. I got an email from Jake about bingo, our fun little things that we have, just the sayings that we do on the show, the things you can expect almost every episode to fill up your BTS bingo card. And I really appreciated it. And I will read more about that when we get to the outtakes.
Nice. Fun. Jonathan.
Which I think is interesting because I'm assuming that originated from the CW bingo card.
I think that's where it is in my mind. And I know we talked about it during Sin Week.
And I know Danae and I had to kind of fight for that, too, when it happened. So I guess it's good we got it in there. I don't remember if that was Barrett or Aaron that was like, I don't get this.
I think that
I
was Barrett. I think that was Barrett because I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
And then finally he gave up and he was just like, it's fine. You guys just do it. You guys are seeing something I'm not. And it worked out really well. So I've got a few. So I'm trying to figure out which one I want to do. Like I said, that office, I don't know. I don't typically go to the YouTube comments. But for some reason, the office one called me, and it was just a nice, you know, people talking about how they watch Lord of the Rings and, you know, just stuff like that. It was really nice. But one of the ones I really liked was Hilafuzi said, while they were doing the LOTR sin, I couldn't help but notice that Angela was actually smiling and enjoying a conversation with Kevin. I have to assume that was just the actors having fun in the background, and that makes me happy. I thought that was really cool, like, to notice something like that.
Yeah, I like that too. I saw that one too.
That was nice.
On the Napoleon Dynamite video, Edifying Gravity says, my high school chemistry teacher was mean and a pervert, but that's another story. Somehow we convinced him to let us watch Napoleon Dynamite in class, and we made a bet with him that if he laughed during it, he'd give us 5 points extra credit on our final. He laughed so hard that he gave us all 10 points. So I just thought that was a fun little personal story about the power of Napoleon Dynamite to get you better grades. So nicely done.
Rolled really high on your persuasion check.
Before we go, I do want to mention that Stephen James commented on the Office thing and said, there's a man who knows his crossword puzzles. So
yes,
that was,
see?
Thank you.
See? I knew that sim was great. It's good stuff. Well
validation.
Done, Jonathan. Yeah, yeah. No, that was a good one. All right, let's move on to Beyond the Sins.
To infinity and beyond.
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
We're each going to chat about something else from the world of pop culture that we've seen recently. Jonathan, what do you got?
I honestly, like, baseball just started up, so that's, and I've been on vacation, so that's been kind of a lot of my viewing. So I will talk about, it's only been one episode, but it is a second season, so I have, but I watched the first episode of the second season of Creepshow, which is a horror anthology series, kind of a horror comedy anthology series on Shudder. It is based on the 1982 film Creepshow, and there was a sequel in 87, and it's supposed to be like a takeoff on like EC Comics, which is like Tales from the Crypt and stuff like that. Yeah. It's very similar to something like Tales from the Crypt. It's just a horror anthology series where every week they have two stories that they adapt for the screen that they've gotten from a book or a short story or something. And the second season just premiered. I really enjoyed the first season. And I will say that the first episode of the second season might be my favorite episode I've seen of the show. So I think that's a good sign that it's still going to be doing the same things for me. I will say I have enjoyed this quite a bit more, which, I mean, this has been canceled now, so I guess it doesn't matter. But I've enjoyed this quite a bit more than the when they brought back Twilight Zone for CBS Plus or Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed this anthology series quite a bit more than that, if that says anything. It's really fun. Like I said, they do two stories every week. I don't know how many episodes they're doing this season, but they're about 45 minutes, about 20 minutes each. The two ones this week, the first season was called Model Kid, and the other was called Public Television of the Dead. Public Television of the Dead was definitely the highlight. I don't want to give anything away, but it was very fun and it was very funny, and it was, I don't know, it was just a blast. So, Creepshow season two just started. Shudder also, I will say, every April they do Halfway to Halloween month. So they've got a lot going on this month. So if you've ever been tempted to check it out, do like a free month, I think this is a good one. And if not for anything, to be able to watch the, you know, first few episodes of the new season of Creepshow. So there you go.
Creepshow on Shudder. Danae, you want to go next?
Sure. I have found another Twitch channel. Continue my deep dive into Twitch, where I can find things like pencil drawings and claymation and crazy sibling shows. Like, I called us the shit show earlier. Moco Maid calls theirs the sibling shit show, so that's why it's in my conscious.
Nice.
But I found one recently that I'm going to try to explain it to you.
Okay.
I would say that people who like to play RPG games may really enjoy this. Maybe people who enjoy Red Dead Redemption 2 may also enjoy this. So there is a private server on Red Dead Redemption, which is like a Western style open map exploration of your environment world. I don't know a ton about the game. I'm super learning about it. But like, you know, let's say that you're on your horse riding at night, you could be attacked by wolves and die. Like, so it's kind of tries to be true to real in that way. Well, there is a private server called the Wild RP, and it is a server where you have to actually apply to be one of the actors or actresses. I guess actors is just fine for everyone. who goes in and plays a character. So everyone you meet is RPing. They're not just playing the game to play the game, or they're not questing. They're actually interacting with each other in character, right in front of your eyes, kind of a thing. And so I didn't know that this was a deal. I know people RP on, you know, MMORPG games all the time, but I didn't realize you can watch some stuff on Twitch. And so this particular server has really intense rules and expectations. Like, for example, if you break the law, you actually are taken to like the jail and you have to stay there for your term. So they really try to make it as true to the game as they possibly can. And everyone abides by the rules. To keep everybody close together, they change the map area. They say, okay, the next season of the game is happening between these three locations. And so everyone who gets on the server goes to those locations to interact, but you never know who's going to be on. There can only be like 36 people on or something like that at once right now. Mm-hmm. But this particular Twitch channel is one of the characters who is regularly playing this game. And I'm going to spell it out for you. I think it's Gregory Peppo. It's GregoryPeppo. So I'm gonna do it again, just in case you're writing down. Get your pen, get your paper. Are you guys doing this? Okay. GregoryPeppo. And
that was the BTS After Dark enable, by the way.
What I have really enjoyed about this person, this channel, he has 26,000 followers. And so each time he goes live in the game, there's probably about 100 people in chat all watching whatever happens next. He's playing somebody who came from the mountains, and so he's really intense, and he's got a temper, and so he might hold someone up. But apparently in the game, like, if you die, you die. So if he holds somebody up and shoots him with the gun, there's ramifications for that, vice versa. So I'm just learning a lot about the game and how this particular server has their rules. And I think there might be a lot of people who enjoy it. So when he goes live, you can kind of watch his, like, his little version of his gameplay. And then there's also other people who play on the same server who also are on Twitch. I haven't found them yet, but there are people who literally watch all of them at the same time and see how they're all interacting. So it's kind of a fun thing, especially if someone like myself who likes RPG, really enjoys in-time storytelling like Dungeons & Dragons and things like that. And you can watch all of his videos on demand. You don't have to be, I don't think you have to be a subscriber. I think you can just watch on his Twitch channel. So I hope you enjoy.
Yay. Very nice. Interesting spelling, but it's like Gregory Peppo on Twitch. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can check that out there. I wanted to talk about a show.
Spell your name right.
That was recommended to me, and there's already 4 seasons in the books, but there's only 10 episodes in each season, and the episodes are 20 minutes long. And it is Search Party, which is on HBO Max now. It started with 2 seasons on TBS. HBO Max picked it up and started playing it. And I binged the entire 4 seasons this weekend.
Whoa.
So it's not a heavy watch. You know what I mean? Like, it's not something that's going to take forever and is also going to, like, weigh you down with a lot of stuff. Now, having said that, it's also a very interesting watch because this show is so sharply satirical about, I would say, the millennial generation. I would say that's what the show would say as well. And just the idea of taking self-absorption and those kind of things to the ultimate satirical maximum. And I just found it not only hilarious, but really pointed in some ways that I just haven't seen a TV show be pointed just at a lot of those things. So it's one of those shows that I watched and I was like, I've never really seen anything like this. To give you a little sense of the plot, in case you want some of that, it stars is it Alea Shawkat, maybe, from Arrested Development? Also, I think she was in First Cow.
I don't know how to pronounce
this
it.
This year.
Yes.
And then John Early, John Reynolds, and Meredith Hanger. Hagner, are the 4 main characters. They are our, like, 4 buddies who are all self-absorbed and are kind of all in their own world. And then they find out that one of their classmates from college is missing. And basically, the Dory character, which is the maybe from Arrested Development, goes on this kind of speech with them about, shouldn't we care? Shouldn't we do something? And then the show just kind of goes from there. And I don't want to spoil anything, but it goes to some weird, interesting places. Season one is very different than season two. Season three is very different, you know, from the previous seasons. And season four is like, this show has a really interesting way of reinventing itself every year. And I just don't want to give a lot of it away, but I find these people absolutely horrible people, but absolutely specifically satirically horrible in a way to make a point and also to bring some laughs. So that's about all I can say. Danae, I do not think you would like this show. I think the people are so horrible that you would just get annoyed with them very, very quickly. But Jonathan, I think you might enjoy it. I'm not sure. I'm not 100%, but yeah.
Was it on TBS?
Yeah, for 2 years. First, I think the first two seasons were on TBS. Okay.
I watched the first episode when it premiered. I hated the characters.
I don't blame you. Yeah.
Especially her boyfriend. I don't know if he's still her boyfriend, but he was her boyfriend in the first episode. Mm-hmm. I just remember that. I still remember like scenes from it. Like I remember like he's trying to get ketchup or something at one point, and like,
yes.
And then at one point, like he wakes her up and he's like, hey, I'm hungry. Go make me food. I don't know why I remember these things, but it just really set with me in a weird way. And I just decided I didn't want that show in my headspace at that moment in my life.
Sure, I totally get it.
But since it's been on for a while and I keep hearing all this about it, I think I probably will check it out. But I have not gotten to it yet.
Yeah.
But it is on my list. Is it over after four seasons
or
is it still going?
They just got renewed for two more seasons.
Okay.
So on HBO Max. Ron.
But is it still? Well, I guess you don't want to give anything away because I was curious that they were still doing the same story. But it sounds like it just kind of evolved.
I will go ahead and say, even though I guess it's a little bit spoilery, no, they are absolutely not doing the same story.
Okay.
That is one thing I did like about this show is how the plot moves quickly. Like it doesn't fall into that trap of having to stretch things out if we're going to have four seasons, we better stretch out this mystery for four seasons. No, it's like, nope, we're here now. Let's go somewhere else. Nope, we're here now. Let's go somewhere else. And I really like that. It kind of moves through stuff.
I like that as well because I remember hearing it kept getting renewed and I was like, how did they make this into like multiple episodes? Mm-hmm. But I guess that makes sense now.
Yeah.
So she ends up actually being kind of a terrible person too because I don't remember that
Dory?
Part. Yeah.
Dory is the central like ethos of the show in a lot of ways. And I think we're supposed to, she makes terrible choices, very selfish choices. You find out really in the entirety of the search, it's about her more than it is about this other person.
I was going to say, I remember that. That's what kind of gets brought up is like when they're always like, why are you concerned about this? How does this have anything to do with you? And it does feel more like it's about her. Yeah. It's really weird how well I remember that first episode, but so maybe that means I should check it out because it obviously stuck with me for 4 years.
Yeah.
So
if nothing else, it is a show that will stick with you.
Yeah.
I find it really fascinating. Ron Livingston shows up for a while in this show.
Nice.
Michael Showalter shows up throughout this show.
Oh, yeah, I'm down. I'll check
it
out.
So, I would be really interested to hear your thoughts or anybody who's watched it because this is one of those shows that you just kind of want to chat about and talk about and go, can you believe what they did in season three? Like, can you believe it went there? You know, like that kind of stuff. So,
cool.
So, yeah, I binged it this weekend and thought it was worth bringing up on the podcast. So, again, it's called Search Party. You can find all four seasons on HBO Max. Well, that's going to do it for Behind the Sins this week. Don't forget to make sure you're subscribed and go ahead and leave a comment or rating as well. If you've got anything you want to send us, you can mail it to us, P.O. Box 881, Republic, Missouri 65738. Hang out with us on Twitter. I'm at Aaron Dicer. She is at Danae Says.
DeneeSays.
And he is at Sam Loomis 13. So for Jonathan Watkins, Danae Hughes, a pocket full of tots, and myself, we will see you next week.
Happy Draw a Picture of a Bird Day. I thought that was better than the dog fart.
100%.
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to bts@cinemasins.com. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. Find more ways to connect by visiting cinemasins.com/BTS.
Okay. I'm only almost 10 minutes late. No worries. Here we come.
Press the buttons, go!
It's a great start to
Look at me, I got some chocolate. Chocolate. Toffee and almonds and milk chocolate.
You guys might have been therapists.
My mom was, but...
So, I mean, you have some knowledge that I don't... See, I'm not really. Anybody.
Yeah.
I'm a therapist to my friends. Does that count?
I'm the opposite. I'm always like, yeah, you need to talk to somebody. I'm not the person to give you that advice.
When I get a group of people angry, therapist.
Wow.
Is that anything?
Wow.
I stretched that one so far, I got a woo from Jonathan.
But I'm not done eating chocolate because I found this new chocolate bar. Oh, that's yummy.
Those are the noises Danae makes when she's enjoying a new candy bar.
No, that's the noises of Danae having a sugar buzz. Oh my God, this is so good. That's Danae enjoying a candy bar.
That is the, just so we're clear, the mint dark chocolate Kit Kat.
I love Kit Kats. I love dark chocolate.
Is that just the mint?
I love mint.
It's both.
It's mint on top and on the sides, and on the bottom is dark chocolate.
Got it.
Oh boy, it's yummy. Oh no.
How's your turtle, Danae? How's your turtle tattoo?
Oh,
your tattoo.
It's good. She's fine.
Oh, did you just get that?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I didn't know.
She said that since high school or something.
No. I think he's probably like, why are you?
I'm like, yeah, she's just showing her turtle clothes. Tattoo. She's just like, she's like, let me hike down my jeans so you can see my tattoo.
I also have a sunburn. Like, I burnt my knees so bad.
When you were on vacation?
Because I guess when I did the sunscreen, I was standing up. And my bathing suit is just long enough that it covers my knees. So, like, I guess I just didn't get them and didn't think about it. And then I sat down and read for like an hour. And when I sat down, my knees were exposed.
Jonathan.
So, yeah.
Reading.
So,
in my Ding. Imagination.
And I'm Casper.
The very first thing
sucks.
I imagined for your swimsuit was one of those old-timey swimsuits where it's like the whole body.
No.
Where it goes down to your knees. And I don't know.
Like a unitard? Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah, like, you're making me think, like, if you watch Evil Under the Sun, that's like Hercule Poirot's swimsuit. And that, no, it's like, it's like the one piece.
Right, no.
It's like a unitard, kind
of. Of course, that's not what it is, but in my mind, that's what you're wearing.
That would be above my knees, probably.
Let's get naked.
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 What's wrong with us?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
You're the one showing all your hidden tattoos.
Oh, your shirt says Bowie. I kept thinking your shirt said bone. I was very confused.
That's
now
right.
I realize it says Bowie.
My shirt says bone.
Well, there is a comic book called Bone, so I don't know.
Anyway.
She just loves the TV show Bones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about getting a tattoo. I don't have one. And I'm kind of weird about needles, but I've been wanting to get a tattoo. And I think what I'm going to do, my daughter's sign, the Chinese zodiac sign, is the rabbit. So I think I'm going to go to a tattoo artist and just say... rabbit in my daughter's name. What are you thinking? You know, and because I don't know how to design something.
Dexter just sent me a picture of a tattoo that he got, and it was amazing. So for me, I just like, I search for Instagram for artists that I really like so that you can see styles that you really enjoy. And what the problem with that is that it's like, oh, you're in Russia. Oh, you're in Mexico City. Oh, you're in Portland.
Yeah.
Okay, Portland's closer. Okay, we're heading the right direction. But I don't know that I'm going to find one close to me that I'm going to enjoy because there's a specific style that I'm looking for. I really wanted to have color for a long time. But then after watching so many of my, like so many different shows over the years, I want a black and white so that it lasts for the next however long I have. Hopefully I'll be like a really cool badass tattoo when I'm 90 and I can show my back piece to my grandchildren and be like, yeah, I got this back in 2022.
Don't get scared. Granny's about to take her shirt off, but I need you to see something.
It's just layers and layers of wrinkly skin.
It's about time for me. I'm going to get a tattoo, a wedding ring tattoo, since my wedding ring broke. And I've been cautioned over and over again about how painful that's going to be. And I don't know. I kind of like it. It's worth the pain. So I'm going to go through it.
Aaron, you heard it here.
Okey-dokey.
Aaron likes BDM. Is it BDM? BDSM?
BSDM.
Is that what it is?
BSDM? BDSM?
Is that the bondage? What is that? Bondage?
Slapping.
Slapping.
Dildos. Music.
Bondage, what did you, bondage, slapping, dildos, and music. Yesterday, that is, you got it. That's BDSM right there.
I had multiple partners with average sized penises, and I, for one, would like for them to stop being like, penis size is important. It's like, no, it's how you use it.
I don't know, but like, I hear those jokes. I don't think about, like, I don't know.
I'm offended as a non-male.
I think they're lame. I just think at this point, like, let's try something new. What is average size, by the way? I have no idea.
I'm sure you can find out the info.
I don't want to.
I just love that you think one of us knows, like, off the top of our heads what average genital size is.
To talk about multiple boyfriends that
were
average.
I know my average. Yeah, I keep a chart. I think it's like a four. I think it's in a four range.
3.5, somewhere in there.
I don't know.
The average flaccid penis in the U.S. is 3.5 inches. So.
Okay. Well, then we were right. We were dead on. I felt my favorite thing about Sin Week was finding out that part of the drinking game would be Jonathan gets grossed out by the most normal human behavior.
Oh my God.
I was like, why do people know me this well?
I got an email with a bingo suggestions.
Oh, it was bingo. No, yeah,
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jonathan says, I'm kidding / taking back a joke. Anyone says something doesn't age well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone references an old TV show not being sinned. Danae doesn't have her notes ready. Aaron mentions kids. Oh, anyone mentions kids. Anyone mentions Twitter. Aaron brings up one of his weird habits. Danae says she's hungry. Jonathan brings up it being a me thing.
Wait, what was that?
Jonathan says something's a me thing. That's probably a me thing.
You say this is probably just a me thing, but another one is anyone mentions Chris, Barrett, or Jeremy. Anyone mentions Springfield, Republic, or Nashville. Aaron mentions Republic. Being more prepared than Danae. Mm-hmm. Danae mentions puppets, or Danae reads thoughts from the A-Team. Those would be fun bingo additions.
By the way, somebody just tweeted too about, it might have been Metcast, but it was a tweet about like how we prepare. And it was like Aaron, like hour and a half or something. Danae, like 20 minutes before, if at all. Jonathan just remembers. That is not true, by the way.
I would wager.
I probably prep somewhere in between the two of them.
I would wager Jonathan preps more than either Danae or I. I would put money on that you spend more time preparing than Danae and I do.
I rewatch the videos. I mean, if I've already seen them, even, I mean, I do watch them.
Already ahead of me. All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. Hey, before we get started.
Sure, Danae. What's on your mind?
How many labels do you guys want for return at
for what?
For return labels for CinemaSins?
Whatever a normal amount that you
send. Yeah, give me a normal amount as well. Whatever the average label size and girth is, just send me that. Jonathan, I got him.
Wait,
good.
Isn't girth different though than length?
Yes, it is. That's why I said it.
So now we gotta find out what the average girth is.
Wait, did we find out the average erect size too? And I just wasn't listening.
It's actually the chart that I finally pulled up said 5.3. So
oh well, that's not six.
No, that's not six.
That's 5.3.
So 3.5 and 5.3 is the average.
That makes sense. That makes more sense because if the average flaccid is, I mean, you're not doubling.
No.
You're not dick doubling.
No.
Dick double. Double the dick. Double the fun.